Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. My name is Joe Glover and I am so lucky to have you listening to me today. I really appreciate your time and attention. There is a lady in the other booth next to me who is having a conversation, so if you can hear her in the background, then please ignore that and please keep your attention right here, right now. So the talk we're going to be hearing today is from Dave Collins. And Dave runs a company called Software Promotions who specialise in SEO. Now, not only has Dave been doing SEO since 1997, which has given him ample time to become a complete expert in what he does, he's also just a complete gentleman. Dave is one of those people that really helped me personally when I started out my marketing career. In this talk, Dave's going to be talking about demystifying SEO and specifically how to make Google love your website. Now this is a huge topic clearly, so Dave picks out a couple of key tips that will make your website a lot more friendly to Google, and I'm sure you'll get an awful lot from it. A couple of things before we go. First, I want to say a big thanks to Barry Richardson of Bravo Marketing. Bravo Marketing are the people that have been putting together this podcast and making it a lot easier for me to just record an intro and then send it off to Barry, and he'll put together the intro and the talk, and it just works seamlessly. The thing that Bravo Creative do superbly is that they're a creative agency, but they focus on the real metrics that actually are involved in content creation, so you actually see what you've produced rather than just an empty metric of I've produced a blog post, for example. If you'd like to know more about those guys, head to bravomarketing.co.uk. The other thing is that if there's plenty of ways to interact with the Marketing Meetup. You can go to our website, which is themarketingmeetup.com. You can listen to more of these podcast episodes. You can come to our events, and we've got a couple of workshops planning soon too. So just head to themarketingmeetup.com and everything's there for you. With all that said, all that's left for me to do is wish you all the best, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With love.
Thank you. Okay, so you know what it's about. Terms, conditions may apply. So my name's Dave and I am an SEO. Despite that, I do understand why most businesses, most people simply don't get round to doing SEO. So I've got a simple formula, which is if you take something that's quite boring, non-urgent, time-consuming, unlikely to work, and you throw in that little adrenaline rush that it might even blow up in your face and leave you worse than when you started, what you're left with is something that's never going to happen. And I get that. So my fairly ambitious goal is to eliminate all these reservations that you might have about SEO. So I'm going to show you how to do it so it absolutely won't blow up in your face. It's pretty much guaranteed to work. It's time effective. Because of this, it's going to work its way up your to-do list. What you're left with is something that's effective, quick and easy. So you basically have to do it. Boring, sorry. I'm going to throw a fair amount at you in a fairly short time. Don't worry about writing anything down. At the end of the talk, I'm going to give you a URL with all the information, links to the various tools and resources and so on, and a lot more. So I have been an SEO since 1997. I know I look like I'm 25, but meaning I've actually been doing this longer than Google. Google's worth around 750-ish billion. Software Promotions, let's not go there, but life is good. If you've seen the film Lord of the Rings, you're no doubt familiar with this nice, healthy Smeagol who finds a ring and it pollutes it and corrupts it and turns into a disgusting thing. 22 years of SEO do a pretty similar thing. Well, you can see it for yourself, actually. Okay, no doubt at some point, I'm pretty sure everyone in the room will have heard this idea. Someone standing up somewhere saying that SEO is dead, right? When people say SEO is dead, they usually mean one of a number of things. They might mean they tried it, it didn't work. They could mean they just simply don't get around to doing it. Or they just like making controversial statements because that's what these days are all about. To hell with accuracy, right? The fact is, irrespective of why someone might be saying SEO, they're wrong. It's that simple. So this is an example. This is a type of thing that someone will point to. A search for luxurious hotel, central London. You've got the ads at the top. You've got the Google knowledge graph underneath, which is basically Google scraping all of our websites. We scroll down the page, there's more scraped information, then we finally get to the organic results. And I totally understand when someone says, why invest the time and resources in something that's going to be halfway down the page? But the fact is, they're possibly misunderstanding this scraped information. Much of it is actually powered by organic. So in this example, good restaurants in Las Vegas, there's an oxymoron. You have the ad at the top, you have organic, and then everything else is powered by organic. But despite this, Google do sometimes get it quite wrong. So I search for where to buy euros, and instead of answering my query, Google start telling me how many euros can I buy. They start talking about exchange rates. They link on the right to euro car parts. This is the real secret of SEO, that Google isn't always quite as smart as they like to make out. There's no one here from Google, is there? Should have asked that at the beginning. They do actually need our help, because ultimately this machine that powers the organic listings is a system. And most of us here already know that any system can be steered, optimized, tweaked a little bit. And that's what I'm going to show you how to do. Before that, there's a seed that popped into my head that I'd like to share with you. So we all know Google is a verb nowadays. My children talk about the internet as Google. But I had this idea, we're so used to it. When's the last time we actually looked at the results of a search and tried to work out how good they actually were? And imagine we had to pay 5p, 10p for every single search. How happy would we be with the results? So I explored the idea a little bit. So I went into Google Images because it's visual and makes the whole thing a lot easier. So what I did is I carried out a simple one-level search, dog. Sure enough, everything there is dog. Then I got a little bit more specific breed, Jack Russell, because one of my dogs is a Jack Russell, sadly. And it delivers. Every picture that we see here is a Jack Russell. Then we go to a two-level search. This time it's Jack Russell smiling. Most of them are Jack Russells and they're smiling. If you think that dog is smiling, don't stroke dogs. Three-level search, black and white Jack Russell smiling. Now, Google's struggling here a little bit with the context because they don't know, am I looking for a black and white Jack Russell that happens to be smiling or a black and white picture of a smiling Jack Russell? They're struggling a little bit with the context. But for the most part, they deliver those two, not so sure. It's complicated stuff. At the four-level search, they lose the plot. This becomes Jack, black and white, Jack Russell smiling next to a baby, which is pretty complicated, four criteria. Only two of them get close to anything to do with children or babies. The fact is Google aren't good at figuring this sort of thing out for themselves. So I like to plant this idea that sometimes a little bit more like a developing child than this amazing, fully formed system with all the charms that go with small children. Second experiment, you know where you can drag an image onto Google Images and it tells you about the image? So I use this image on the bottom right. That at the time, that was on all my social media profiles. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google+. So I drag the image on. First thing Google does is it tells me best guess is Dave Collins. Well, they know this. It's in the Google Plus account. But I'm interested in this visually similar images at the bottom. When I click on that, I should point out Google aren't showing pictures of people that look like me. They're claiming these are pictures, images that are visually similar by whatever criteria they use. But as people, we can instantly see that the person on the left doesn't look like the person on the right. It's complicated, this. It's genuinely incredibly complicated. What is visually similar? Is it similar shape, colours, proportions, perspective? It really is complicated stuff. But there was something in there that jumped out at me. And some of these pictures started to look a little bit familiar. When I was preparing this PowerPoint, I was going to have a slide on who is Dave Collins, but because I'm such a good SEO, I wasn't in there at all. is mainly dominated by a baseball player called Dave Collins. What I didn't notice is that these four images were served up by Google for the visually similar to me. These four people are people, unsurprisingly, called Dave Collins. And Google know this from the title of the page, a description, the text, all that sort of stuff. So despite all the advances, despite Google's claiming the visual similarity, it's all about text, which is where we were 10, 15, even 20 years ago. Now, it's easy for someone like me to stand up at the front poking Google with a sharp stick. I get that. This is phenomenally complicated. But this reinforces to me the fact Google actually need our help. And that's what SEO is about. And Google proved this. They invest an enormous amount of time and resources in sponsoring events, into tools, starter guides, and so on. Even though we are the less powerful, it is still a two-way relationship. So the final bit of theory before I show you how to do this stuff. Signals is massively, massively underestimated, in my opinion, in SEO. So what do I mean by signals? Imagine you are interviewing for your business tomorrow, and the first person that walks into the room looks like this. I had a horrible moment thinking, what if someone in the room looks exactly like that? Thankfully, no. So rightly or wrongly, when this person walks in, cigarette in mouth, thumbs up, shirt open to there, rightly or wrongly, because the signals that he's sending you, you're going to form some initial impressions that's probably going to last for a while. And I think that I believe, strongly believe, that the same principles apply online. If you go looking for a website designer and you come across a website that looks like this, you might not notice that the phrase website design is repeated 14 times on the page, but it doesn't look right, it doesn't read right, it doesn't sound right, and you can guarantee that Google notice that sort of thing. If you have pointless statements like websites are becoming more and more common every day, if you have copyrights that's 6 years out of date, a blog that hasn't been updated in 4 years, if Google can see that you have more than 90 million errors on your website, the signals that you're sending, they're not going to impress them. And this is a really, really critical aspect of SEO. So that's all the theory. Now I'm going to show you how to put it into action. Again, don't worry about writing down anything of the tools I'm going to show you. It's all there. It's all online. Let's get practical. This is a very scaled-down version of quite a long talk. I've taken the two most actionable parts of it, which I'll go through with you now. The first task is to fix the machine. What I mean by that, if you decide, and I really hope someone in this room decides you're going to give SEO a real try after this, if you decide that you're going to do this, let's say next week, you'll pick a morning or an afternoon, an often overlooked aspect of SEO is to do the boring, dirty work. You've got to make sure the machine works. There's no point in auditing your website, auditing your links, getting new links, creating new content. It's like having a shiny car that looks like that, and you flip open the bonnet, and inside it's garbage and it's all corroded away. It's really, really important and highly unglamorous, but highly effective. So how do you find out where the issues are? Google. Google make this very easy through the Google Search Console. Two things about Search Console. Like analytics, it's really easy to drown in there. There are so many things. You could spend a whole morning in your Search Console and walk away with nothing. So I'm going to show you where you should be focusing on. This is the old Search Console. They're in transition right now between the old and the new. They're phasing, pulling out some of the features from the old, putting it in the new, and some of them are being dropped. In the old Search Console, these are the four most important areas. Crawl errors, HTML improvements, index status, and security issues. I don't have time to go into what these things are, but they're important. The reason why there's a box around HTML improvements is because Google have said they're pulling the plug on this one around the end of March. It's going to be gone, and it won't be in the new one. HTML improvements is when Google tell you what SEO problems you have with your website. It's not me telling you, it's Google telling you. So I highly recommend, if nothing else, go into your Search Console and see what it's telling you there. It's really useful information. Now, the new Search Console looks like this, which is beautiful-ish. The main areas in there that I recommend you explore a little bit are the performance, coverage, and the links. All this is in this URL at the end. What I really like about it the most, you can put any of your URLs there at the top, and it gives you all sorts of useful information, like, are you in the index? If you're not in the index, it'll probably tell you why. And it's a really, really good diagnostic. You can click on that and you get all the information, when they last crawled it, where they found links from, and so on. It's so useful. It's one of the most useful things I've seen in SEO in years. And you don't need to end up looking like that or like this to get there. Okay, second task. This is really easy to dismiss this as common sense, but give this a try. This is so incredibly powerful. This is about letting Google help you. My highlighting went a bit strange. Let Google help you create content. So, what do I mean by that? It's about using Google as an SEO and not as a searcher. So imagine you have some sort of product about family tree, something to do with family tree. Maybe it's software, desktop, SaaS. It could be a book, ebook, anything about find my family tree. So what we're going to do is going to go to Google and we'll search for find my family tree. But remember what we're doing here, we're looking at this information through the eyes of an SEO. So the first thing I pay attention to is that bit at the bottom, the people also ask, because straight away Google are giving me two ideas there. They're giving me ideas of tracing and ancestry, which is quite useful. Then I'm obviously going to actually have a look at the results. I'm going to click on each of those links, open them up, and explore the websites a little bit. The searches related to at the bottom, this is gold, because you've asked Google, find my family, you carried out a search for find my family tree, and Google have given you language and phrases that they believe are associated. So if you want to rank for find my family tree and you use some of the words and some of the phrases that Google say are related, it's like a really nice feedback loop there, and it really works well. Then obviously you pay attention to the titles, the descriptions, and so on. There's a scene in the first Matrix film, I think, where Neo, instead of seeing the world as people and walls and objects, he sees the world as data, because that's what data looks like. This is a really similar technique. I can't overestimate it. It sounds so simple. It works so incredibly well. If you have no idea where to start with your keywords, two really good resources. One is Reddit. I don't know the first thing about Reddit, but I do like subreddits because they're a really good way to get into the minds of the people who are interested in what you're buying. Even better than Reddit is, this is a technique from, some of you might have heard of, Joanna Wiebe, Copy Hackers. She has this tactic called Amazon mining. What she does, she finds a book on a subject like this one. She's looking for, in particular, the reviews, a lot of reviews. And what she does is, quite systematically, she analyzes the language of the reviews. She's looking for ideas, for themes, for pain points, for linguistic markers, anything that helps her get into the mindset, get into the heads of the people buying what she's selling. And it really, really works well. The final bonus tip is this golden rule. Always put humans before spiders. If you don't know, spiders are Google's little bits of code that jump out on the web. I hate spiders, by the way. But they jump out onto the web and they crawl your website and feed back that information to the mothership. When you're doing SEO on your website, when you're carrying out these techniques, always, always put the human visitors first. Google comes second. So we've all had the experience at some point that we search for something on Google, we click on the link, we land there, and we just think, what on earth is this about? It's garbage. We've all been there, right? There's no point. There's no point in doing that. So I could decide, as a result of speaking to you all tonight, I could decide this is now what I want to do. I don't want to do SEO anymore. I want to talk about it at events. The way for me to do that isn't to create content where I repeat the phrase SEO speaker at conferences and events 20, 30, 40 times. In the highly unlikely event that actually ranks on Google, anyone who clicks on that link is going to bounce. And bouncing is one of the worst signals that you can be sending to Google. So to put it all together, don't talk about SEO, do it, because most people don't. Most of your competition Most of them aren't doing it. We'll go into why in just a second. Fix the machine. It's so unglamorous. It's so boring. Get someone to do it. It's so important. Take a different approach to content. Use Google to generate the ideas that Google are actually looking for, and always put humans before spiders. Now, in asking to the emails that Joe and I shared, had a few questions for Joe along the way. He came up with an idea that I thought was a really, really nice idea that he said, I don't know if you plan to do this for all future speakers. And he asked me a number of questions to try to cover at the end. So I always do what Joe tells me for obvious reasons. So the first one was, why is your thing important? If you go out there on the street, and you ask all these people, most people in the room, I suspect, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because you'll prove me wrong, but I suspect that most of you aren't doing SEO. And the reason most people aren't doing SEO is they think it's too complicated or it scares the daylights out of them. But it works. It works. I've got to have, you can't have a talk on SEO without the graph. It works. Google, the brilliance of Google is there are people out there right now searching for what you sell, for what you have to offer. And Google is the interface, Google is in between, and that's what SEO is about. Plus, it's fun and easy, obviously. Where does it fit in the larger marketing picture? It's everywhere. It sounds like a cop-out answer, but SEO is so vital to marketing. So if you do it right, it's not about the phrases that Google think you should be using. It's not about looking for the hacks. It's about getting into the mindset of the people searching for what you sell and putting that on your website. It is pure marketing. How does your thing make money for businesses or change the world? Well, it doesn't. But it can. See a little bait and switch, as we call it in SEO. It can. It works. It makes... What's the question again? It makes money. It really does. I don't believe I'm a particularly good con artist. The people we work with are some of the most intelligent people in the world. No bias. It works. It really works. If you do it, if you get it right, even making small differences, you get graphs that look like that. Who does your thing really well in the real world? I couldn't resist that slide. I just couldn't resist it. It's not the time to be modest. I think I do a reasonable job. There's me and Seth. I'm advising him on SEO. Total lie. I'm asking for a picture. He said no, by the way. Genuinely, he said no, but I got the picture. Rand Fishkin, I suspect some of you have heard of. He's the founder of Moz. If you search for Whiteboard Fridays, he has a massive number of these on the Moz website. They are fairly short videos where he takes fairly complicated ideas and he distills them down to these really good actionable points, which I highly recommend. My mind's gone blank. Will Critchlow from Distilled UK SEO. I hate the phrase thought leader, but he is. He really is. And he's written some amazing content and done some videos as well. And Will Reynolds from Seer. He's American SEO, so he's far more excitable than British people. But it's brilliant. He is actually brilliant. If the audience want to find out more what resources can they access, as promised, giving you URLs, got all this information. There's a picture of my Jack Russell doing a really good impression of Freddie Mercury, I think. It's one of the best. And that's the link. It's all lowercase, bit.ly/marketing-meetup. Sorry for grabbing the URL. I'll sell it you. Yeah. Spoken like an SEO. Thank you.